Please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Amelia Buckley.
And I'm Summers McKay.
We are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, as you might have figured out because you are actually listening to this at this moment, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, we have a guest today-worthy. Today is Monday, May 4th, 2020. Amelia, welcome to Christie's seat today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on the podcast.
Well, tell everyone on the podcast who you are and why you are optimistic.
I am a staff writer here at the Optimist Daily, so I'm part of the editorial team. And I'm a student that started with the Optimist Daily through interning and then came on for more responsibilities as I got more involved. I've recently joined the podcast team. I edit the daily podcast, but today Christie's on vacation, so I get to hop on and be a voice of optimism for you guys. And I would say I am optimistic because when you're reading through the news, a lot of times you focus on the negative stuff that you see, but we miss so many solutions that are happening every day. As I look towards, you know, graduating from college and entering the real world, it's really helpful for me to focus on what's going right rather than what's going wrong out there.
Everybody, Amelia is just a bright light on our team. Well, everyone on our team is fantastic, but she's particularly fantastic. And she is in that unique position, as are a number of members of our team, who is graduating this year and heading off into the world post-COVID-19. We are all responsible for not only making the world a safer place for those generations that we are protecting with our stay-at-home orders and our social isolation, but also make the world a better place for the generations that will come and lead us in the future. And Amelia is one of them. So keep an eye out for Amelia and let's give her a warm welcome for the next couple days sitting in Christie's seat. I'm going to kick off this bright Monday morning with a story from the policymaking section of the Optimist Daily. California has set up a task force to rebuild a more inclusive economy. Sort of sounds like what we were just talking about, huh? If California were a sovereign nation, it would be the fifth largest economy in the world, slotted in between Germany and India. So the decision the state makes as it begins to consider how to reopen businesses and reboot the economy in the wake of the coronavirus crisis have major implications and major lessons for both other states and other countries. To figure out how to do it, Gavin Newsom, our state's governor, announced April 17th that he would set up an encompassing task force of 98 members comprising authorities from business, labor, government, philanthropy, and academia to streamline economic recuperation in a way that takes into account the needs of different groups. It's a way for Newsom to take stock before making decisions in the short and long term. The task force is co-chaired by Newsom's chief of staff, Anne O'Leary, and billionaire and former presidential candidate Tom Steyer, who will ensure the recovery plan is equitable, green, and lifts up under-resourced communities hit hardest by this pandemic, says his spokesman, Benjamin Gerdes. The members include chief executives from California companies like Chipotle, Patagonia, LinkedIn, Gap, and Netflix, small business owners, labor leaders from industry, including agriculture, hospitality, education, and construction, community leaders, and a member of the California state legislature. It's receiving advice from four governors, both Democrats and Republicans. Also involved is Art Pulaski, the chief officer of the California Labor Federation, an organization made up of 1,200 affiliated unions that work together to promote the interest of working people. The task force is split into three separate parts to address the short term, 60 days, medium term, before the end of the year, and long term, 2021 and beyond. That means a lot of members are looking at this as a fresh start to rethink and reboot it to include those often forgotten. 98 members is a huge number, one that some have called unwieldy. That was my concern, actually, a little bit. Expressing concerns about manageability and the reality of making a change with so many stakeholders. But the governor's office plans to not only have meetings with the whole group, but divide it into subcommittees, which will meet on a regular basis and dive into more substantive material. Ideas are already coming out of this task force. One member, Manuel Pastor, the director of the USC Program for Environmental and Regional Equity, believes it's extremely important for the task force to ensure the most vulnerable are kept secure, the recently incarcerated who've reentered the labor market and must compete with other unemployed people, or children of color who may experience setbacks in studies due to lower rates of access to high-speed internet. He has some solutions in mind that would bring in the various elements of the task force. For remote learners, the state could implement a lifeline program that makes broadband more accessible for low-income families. He may push for re-entry programs for the formerly incarcerated and governmental assistance as they re-enter the job market. We will have to wait and see how effective the task force will be, but for Californians, it is encouraging to see a state being proactive in its quest to build a more inclusive economy. And Amelia, this story particularly spoke to me because I am a fervent believer in do good and do well. And that's part of why I run the Optimist Daily. And that's how we build this business. And keeping all of our stakeholders in mind is so critical when we rebuild our state as we come out of the COVID-19 crisis. This makes me feel very optimistic.
I agree. And you know, 98 members sounds like a lot, but really the only way to make a cohesive plan that accounts for everyone, especially marginalized groups, is to really communicate with individuals across all of those sectors. I'm excited to see where this goes.
Well, I know you and the editorial staff will keep a firm eye on this, so keep us updated with more stories.
Our next story comes from the health section of the Optimist Daily. New advanced prosthesis operates using mind control. Researchers have developed one of the world's most advanced prosthetic arms, which is integrated with the patient's nerves to work seamlessly via mind control. The innovative bionic system allows patients to maneuver limbs with thought and even feed sensations back to the brain. Unlike traditional socket prostheses, the neuromuscular skeleton prosthesis integrates nerves, muscles, and brain activity, essentially allowing patients to control the arm instinctively, like a real limb. The system is so advanced that patients don't even have to be trained to use it. The prosthesis is anchored into the patient's bone, and electrodes are implanted into the muscles and nerves to facilitate sensory feedback. The research team is made up of members from the Clamers University of Technology, Sahlgrenska University Hospital, University of Gothenburg Integrum AB, Medical University of Vienna, and MIT. The team reports that three Swedish patients have lived with the prototype for many years with great success. Initial patients say the device doesn't even feel like a prosthesis, but more of an actual part of themselves. While the technology is extremely promising, researchers expect it will take a few years before it becomes widely available. I think this is a great solution, especially I love these health solutions that kind of are outside of COVID-19 categories. And prostheses have advanced so much in recent years. I think this is really exciting development for everyone who depends on them.
I really like the stories about neurofeedback, neurotransmitters, and prosthetics and the integration. I think we recently had a story about a speech device that can create speech from neurotransmission. And all of these devices and technologies are really exciting as we get deeper into the brain. I'm a big fan of brain science, having experienced a brain injury myself about 10 years ago. So this kind of stuff, I think, is just fascinating. And definitely, guys, go on to optimistdaily.com and take a look at the images of this device because it's really fascinating. Our next story is a pretty darling one from the ideas section of the Optimist Daily. An aquarium in Japan urges people to keep eels company via FaceTime. I'm always an ocean girl, so this is one of my stories. Social distancing has been tough for everyone, including a group of spotted garden eels at an aquarium in Japan. These cute aquatic creatures are naturally shy and mostly hide in the sand, but over the years, the 300 spotted garden eels at Tokyo's Sumida Aquarium have gotten used to humans peeking at them from behind the glass. Since the start of the outbreak, though, and the ensuing lockdown, the aquarium has been closed to the public, and it seems that the eels have started to forget what it's like to have us as part of their surroundings. Now, whenever the aquarium staff comes around, the eels act especially shy and bury themselves in the sand. According to the aquarium, this hidden state is concerning not only because the eels are starting to revert back to their cautious wild nature, but also because hiding from humans makes it difficult for keepers to know if the eels are healthy. In the hopes of reminding eels what their human-filled pre-quarantine lives were like, the aquarium announced a face show festival during which people can call in to meet the eels via FaceTime. The aquarium plans to install 5 tablets around the eel's tank and give people the opportunity to virtually keep them company from May 3rd to May 5th. So I think we're right in that window. If you want to take part in the efforts to refamiliarize these shy garden eels with humans, the aquarium asks that you keep things quiet in the FaceTime call. So if you find yourself bored in the house over the next few days, pick up the phone and help these adorable creatures by giving them a call. This is citizen science volunteering and the cutest thing. I would love to have kids young enough and old enough to want to do this. Anybody who does it, please send us pictures and we will put that on Optimus Daily Instagram because that is so cute. I love it.
This reminds me of that story we ran a couple weeks ago about all the virtual tours you can take. And I think the Monterey Bay Aquarium is doing virtual tours too. So if you want to see sea life, there are many, many ways to do it virtually.
Was it the Monterey Bay or maybe it was the Long Beach Aquarium that was taking puppies and kittens to go wander around the aquarium in the off hours? Did you see that story?
I'm not sure I saw that one, but that sounds too cute.
Yeah. One of our stakeholders at the Optimus Daily was asking how we pick the stories for the podcast. And he said, you know, do you pick what you think everyone will want to hear? Do you pick what your favorite stories are? And I said, well, if I only picked my favorite stories, it would be kittens, puppies, turtles, and giraffes, and then the occasional business story. Thank you guys for giving me more ocean creatures and more animals to find adorable stories about.
All right. Our next story comes from the environment section of the Optimus Daily, how rebel botanists are using graffiti to name forgotten flora. The words rebel and botanist aren't typically found in the same sentence, but recently these words have joined together to describe a new wave of people who are using street graffiti to highlight the names and importance of the diverse but downtrodden flora growing in the cracks of paths and walls in cities across Europe. The idea of naming wild plants wherever they go, which began in France, has gone viral, with people chalking and sharing their images on social media. More than 127,000 people have liked a photo of chalked up tree names in a London suburb, while a video of botanist Boris Pressick of Toulouse Museum of Natural History chalking up names to highlight street flowers in the French city has had 7 million views. Trust us, that's a lot of views for a botanist. French botanist and campaigner Sophie Liguil, who lives in London, set up the More Than Weeds campaign to change perceptions of urban plants in the UK after helping spread the Sauvage de ma rue, Wild Things of My Street, chalking campaign in France, led by Tella Botanica. She has won permission to chalk up Hackney's highways and make chalk trails to highlight the forgotten flora at our feet and is asking other councils to allow the same. In the UK, it is illegal to chalk anything, hopscotch, art, or botanical names, on paths or highways without permission, even if it educates, celebrates, and fosters interest and knowledge in nature. Now, if you walk through Hackney, you might just see chalk labels that tell you that those weeds you walk past every day actually have a scientific name, such as Viper Bugloss or Herb Robert. Rebel botany is an awesome way for people to connect with the immediate nature around them. Perhaps we can get the movement going in the US too. I love this idea because as I've been taking more walks around my neighborhood, especially during the springtime, I've been noticing all kinds of plants that I never really took notice of before. Maybe I'll get out a piece of chalk and start labeling them as I go around.
If you do, will you please send us pictures? We'll have the social media team put them up. That's pretty cute. We have some wild seagrass situations happening here in my area right now because people are not curating the pathways. The city is not taking care of the sidewalks and pathways as they customarily would do. And so walking along, pushing Brennan in a stroller, it is navigating wild seagrass, and I will look and see if I can spot anything else that's familiar as well. It is spring. It is spring and things are growing here in the Northern Hemisphere. And it's kind of a nice release after a pretty intense, you know, winter, end of winter, I think, for all of us. For those in the Northern Hemisphere, get out there and look at the things that are growing and share them with us. Our last story today dives back into the ocean from the technology section of the Optimus Daily. New technique helps accurately detect plastic debris floating in the ocean. Spotting marine plastic debris is an extremely challenging task. And while satellite imagery is the most optimal way to track plastic debris in the ocean, the images taken from space can't always tell if something floating in the water is actually plastic or other natural objects like driftwood and seaweed. This plastic tracking method, however, may soon improve thanks to an algorithm developed by a team of Earth observation scientists. The new technique of detecting plastic debris was developed by first combining high-resolution optical data from the European Space Agency together with image technology that identifies macroplastics, such as water bottles, plastic bags, and fishing nets on the sea surface. Then, the researchers employed an algorithm called the Floating Debris Index, FDI, that was configured to tell the difference between macroplastics and other natural objects in images captured by satellites. After testing the technique, the scientists reported an 86% accuracy rate. While plastic that tends to get pushed around the ocean, winds and ocean currents will propel it into clusters that stay in one place. The researchers hope their optical satellite data can help these aggregates and that people and organizations can use this information to work on solutions. We recently ran a story about a plastic scooping barge that created a fleet of plastic collection in the ocean as well as some of the world's most polluted rivers. These solutions are just fantastic. It's really exciting to come up with ways of getting plastic out of the ocean. I also really look forward to more solutions on ways of preventing it from ever getting there. Guys, please use reusable stuff. Ditch the plastic if you can. I know it's almost unavoidable in life these days, but just try to keep it from ever getting in the ocean. And then we'll have more happy eels all over the world.
Plastic pollution has really come back to the forefront lately because as we're using gloves and masks to protect ourselves, those have to go somewhere after we throw them away. So I think it's really important that we all remain conscious about our plastic footprint, even as we protect ourselves.
Absolutely. And I think the discussion on whether or not we need to be using gloves is a really salient one, and one that we can probably get into on the Optimist Daily. What is the value of individuals using gloves themselves if they are not a service provider or in food service, really making choices to use PPE in the most effective way and not be wasteful with it. I think we'll keep looking for solutions on that front. And Amelia, you make such a good point. Now, we're coming to the end of this morning, and I am really glad you're going to be back with us tomorrow. But how did it go? How'd you like it?
It went well. This is my first time podcasting, and I really enjoy it. I like the idea of sharing the stories that we write every day in a more accessible way that you guys can listen to, you know, while you're doing chores, walking around. I love podcasts. I listen to them a lot throughout my day-to-day life. So it's exciting to be a part of the process.
Well, I was thinking of a tagline, turn off the TV and turn on the solutions. Maybe that can be our new marketing call for the podcast for the Optimist Daily. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information you need most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com, and for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution-changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. And Christy, we miss you, but we sure hope you're not listening and instead you're doing your staycation. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Bye, Summers.
Bye, Amelia.